Let's talk about witnessing. I had a chance to witness. Now, I want you all to tell me if I did good, if I did fair, or if I didn't do very good. Now, is that fair? Okay, let's get started. I have a gentleman that I really like. He's worked for me for two other companies in the past, and he works there at Hawk, and we talk about religion. He teaches a class, and he comes in and talks to me about Revelation, the book of Revelation, every once in a while. So he came in this last week and said, "Do you have time for me to ask you a question?" And I said, "Well, absolutely. I enjoy discussing things with you." So he said, "Here's my problem." He says, "We all know that we're going to be taken to heaven, and there's going to be a great tribulation here on the earth, and then Christ is going to come back and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, because there's all going to be peace." You know what type of theology I'm talking about. So he says, "Here's my question. When the people from heaven come back, are they going to be in their spirit, or are they going to be kind of in their flesh?" So I'm sitting here kind of thinking through this, and so I said, "Well, let me help you. First of all, where in the world do you get the theology that there's going to be 1,000 years of peace here with Christ reigning on this earth? And you're certainly absolutely wrong about the rapture. In fact, in Matthew, where it talks about the rapture, where it says it's going to be like in the days of Noah, one was taken and one was left, when you really look at that, the one that was taken was the wicked person, and the only one left was Noah, the righteous person. And when you look at Sodom, the same thing. The wicked were taken, and the righteous, which was Lot and his three daughters, were left. So before I can discuss that, I've got to get you straight on this. Now here's my question. How did I do?"
"Sounds like you told him."
"Pardon?"
"You told him."
"I told him, that's right. Angela, how did I do?" "Huh?"
An F.
Now that's a school teacher there. Wow. You didn't look at my transcripts before, have you? Did I see your hand? Who else? What was wrong? Was what I said correct?"
"Well, yeah."
"Thank you, Leroy. I appreciate that. So what was wrong by taking an opportunity when the person is misinformed and getting it correct with some good facts so that he would go home and think about those facts and put them together? What's wrong with that?" "Morning. Always got room for favorite people." "That's all right. Let's see. We need two seats. Right here. So far, just to bring you all up to date, my lesson so far, Angela says, is an F. So, that's it. Okay, what did I do right or wrong?"
"The way you say it."
"Pardon?"
"The way you say it."
"Oh, I should have said it nicer?" "Pardon?" "Well, kind of rude, okay. What else? What was wrong? Because I was stating facts. Is it important to understand the rapture or not rapture, what that is?" "It certainly fits in." See? "What an opportunity to witness."
"Put the cart before the horse."
"Put the cart before the horse, okay. What other comments? Trevor, how'd I do?"
"Well, I was thinking sometimes people need to hear something that they can think about."
"Okay."
"And if this is the way you said it, just as you just did, I don't have a problem with that."
"Okay."
"If you have a relationship with somebody and you talk from time to time,
okay,
that's not bad."
All right. Appreciate that. Who else would like to comment?
Well, one of the things that works good for me, Ernie, is when I have the answer, I like to ask the questions to the other person so they can draw their own conclusion.
Okay.
Instead of telling them something.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Now, I have a good friend, Andy Doyle, that went to a $400 seminar, and he learned one thing, and he shared it with me, and so it saved me, Jim, $400. See? When somebody asks you a question that you know they kind of think they know the answer, the key to it is simply saying, what do you think? See? And so, when he came down and he gave me that, I said, what do you think? And he said, well, I'm really concerned that when they come back from heaven, are they in their spirit or are they in their flesh and recognizable? And then he says, I think that because the Bible talks about we know each other, that when they come back, everybody will know, and I think it's more the flesh than not the spirit. Marshall, come on up here, Marshall. Come on up here. Sir?
What are you taking off for you? Take the ear.
Now, see, Mike gets things done. Did you hear the three options?
No, I didn't.
Well, let me give you the three. What's your position at this church?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening.
Oh, okay.
There's too many people in this room. I'm being serious. There's too many people in this room for the air conditioner to cool it. I mean, I can turn it down over here to, 68 is where it's on right now. And it's just not going to cool. There's just too many bodies in this room.
Option three
is what?
We're going to build a new Sabbath school room and air condition it ourselves.
I mean, we can talk about moving if you want to. What were the other ones? We can
knock a hole through the wall and let the air conditioner come in.
What we did last year when it was really hot was we cracked that door because, when it gets cool over there, the thermostat doesn't necessarily recognize it over here. We've asked them to move. They don't want to move. I think it's a control issue.
Can we get a window unit? Would that be an option or not?
Why would it? I'm serious. Because we got money. What would it cost to change the thermostat?
How much money do you have?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What would it cost to change the thermostat over here, or would that help?
Well, yeah, it would help. I mean, like I said, if you got a room, this room was made to be open. Of course, it's always closed. So you can set the thermostat on 68 over there. It'll get to 68 over there, but that doesn't mean it's going to get to 68 over here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're having.
Okay.
Can we just put a ventilation fan in the wall?
I think the best thing to do is move thermostat.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll pay for it.
It's not going to be that much. I mean, I'll have to do something. All right.
Well, then you pay for it. I don't know. What do you think? All right. Let's give Marshall a hand.
That's a $5,000 bad wall right there.
Yeah, we ain't got that much money. All right, thank you, Marshall. I know. Well, after today, we'll probably call a bunch of you anyway out of here. All right. What do you see is your duty to witness to other people? Now, the Bible tells us that we are called to be a priest, that we are called to be witnesses, that one of the things that God does is give us gifts to be witnesses. So what do you see is your way of witnessing? Yes, Blaine.
I think sometimes we get confused between what a witness is and what a teacher
okay.
is.
And define the difference.
A witness is explaining what's happened to them or what they saw. A teacher's trying to teach something.
Okay. All right. Okay? Did I see another hand? Yes.
I got personal conduct as a witness. I'm with St. Francis of Assisi. Said, preach a good sermon, use words only if you must.
Okay. All right.
Witnessing all the time.
Okay. All right. So are you saying then that we're good witnesses or bad witnesses all the time?
More effective or less effective.
Pardon?
More effective or less effective.
More effective and less effective. Okay. Okay. All right. Dr. Coy?
Are we living what we believe? When I first took my first job, the first thing they did, they assigned me to one of the dances. It was a high school, senior high school of 1,800 kids. The previous teacher was an Adventist. I don't know what he did or what he didn't do. But I met with the group. I said, I will stay here after school to get things supervised what's taking place up until an hour before sundown. I will leave at that point. I'm happy to come in on Sunday, but I will not be here Saturday night. I won't be part of any of the part. Well, sundown came and I wasn't home. An hour after sundown came and I wasn't home. 2 hours after sundown came, I wasn't home. And the lady sitting next to me was getting quite worried. What happened? As I walked out of the gymnasium, one of the other teachers came up. This was an hour before sundown. And he says, tell me why you don't stay to help tonight. That led into a three-hour discussion. To me, standing for what I believed in was witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Answering the questions was helping him to see my perspective and hopefully that he could understand my perspective and
okay.
accept that.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's witnessing.
Okay. How do you all witness? What do you consider the ways of witnessing? Yes.
Well, I believe that my life should be a witness. And when I was with my daughter Whitney, she was brought up the same as the other two. But her lifestyle is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, she doesn't want to be preached to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't preach to
her. Absolutely. She doesn't want to be preached to, nor should she be preached to. Yes?
During the summer when we're up north, I'm a volunteer driver for the unit on aging, and some of these people are in excess, most of them are in excess of 90 years old. And they talk to me about so-and-so has gone to heaven and going to be out of it now. I don't see any reason for me to change. If this is what they believe and they're happy with it, I'm not going to say anything to them about, I think you're wrong. I'm sorry, but I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? What do you see witnessing? Leroy.
Strange enough, this week I was looking through some books for a different idea, and I ran across a statement. I don't like to quote Ellen White, I don't give references, etc., but the idea was close to it. Had the Adventist people preached or witnessed the message of the grace and the love, Jesus would have come here ere this. So it must be the love of God. We preach the love of God. Christ will come back to this earth.
Okay. Charles?
On the theme of how we act is how we witness, reminded me of the story of a police officer who pulled over a woman and just got up to the window and asked her to get out, and he immediately handcuffed her. She said, well, why are you doing that? The only thing I could have been doing was speeding. He goes, no, ma'am, I've been following you for a while, and I know you must have stolen that car. He goes, what makes you think I stole this car? He says, well, I saw you flip a couple of people off, shake your fist at them, and you got the symbol of a Christian on the back with your car, so the only thing I could figure was
the
car.
That's very good. Certainly makes the point. Let's go back to my scenario. If you had 5 minutes to talk to somebody and they asked you about what is the most important thing in your religion, what would you talk about for those 5 minutes?
God's grace. Oh, God.
I want you to think that through. You have 5 minutes. What would you talk about? Pardon? Pardon?
I say what Christ has done to you in your life.
Okay. Now, in my discussion with the gentleman about the rapture and all of that, if you were going to put in... make priority. What's the word? Propriety. Thank you. Good thing I don't make my living by talking. If you were going to do that, from one on down, where would the rapture be?
Way down.
Okay. So, being a pure sales trainer and a salesman, that's my profession, and understanding people, why would I pick that subject to try to drive home? When you just told me, in the list of all things, it's a low priority.
That's what he was interested in.
That's what he was interested in. Was he really interested in my profound thinking? See, that's the key. I think he wanted to know if I agreed with what he did. In this particular, when the saints come back, do I think they're in the Spirit? The answer is no. So we had agreement. How they got here, what the tribulation was, and all of that, wasn't a disagreement. He came to me and said, hey, I'm teaching this quarter on Revelation at the church. What's the most important thing about Revelation in your opinion? Now, what am I expert on?
Feast.
No. 2300 days, see? So I could have taken that and went back to Daniel, see? And the only thing I said to him, you know, he says, you know, there's so many thinking and there's so many commentaries and nobody agrees on any of it. And, you know, and I'm kind of confused. And I said, well, I can understand. Let me tell you the key. Go to Revelation 1, 1 and 2, and it says this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So every time you come across anything after that, ask the question, what does this have to do with the character of God, the love of Jesus, and how does it fit in? And he's come back and said, you know, that approach has helped me. Hasn't solved everything. It's helped me. Now, why was that important for me to say? First of all, that's exactly right, Revelation. Anytime we teach as a church or a denomination or individual the book of Revelation as that we have it all and these are the prophecies, we're missing the point of the book. The point of the book is it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what John started out with. And it ends up with God Himself in heaven wiping away your tears. And in between, we forget what the book's all about. That was my... I'll come to you in a second, Neil. That was my opportunity to witness. Was to witness about the only subject I think's important is, what is God like? He died for us. His kindness and graciousness and His life. Now that's a point that I think that we need to dwell on. Anything other than that tends to shut the door. Because once I said to him, well, you're wrong. Let me show you something different. Let me give you a Bible study on this. Then, I don't think that's witnessing. I think that's shutting the door. Mel.
Well, I was just going to say also, we try to try to think too much on ourselves in the sense that there's a Holy Spirit working. And all we have to do is keep them interested in. He's still studying because of what you said.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't maybe understand it all, but that's not our problem. That's what the Holy Spirit's there to impress upon him. And maybe he'll come around and understand it. Maybe he won't, but he's still interested in studying.
Okay, appreciate that. What do you think of this statement? I've only been at this 40-something years. What if I learn something from him? Am I arrogant enough? Well, better use a different word. Am I arrogant enough to think I know everything on this? What if I learn something from him? What if he stimulated my thinking? See, to me, the most important thing, unless it's that five-minute principle that you want to work on, is keep the door of communication open. Now, witnessing used to be given Bible studies. Am I correct? In fact, one of the things the quarterly talks about is record keeping. And it kind of says that we need to perhaps keep records of what we do. And it gives a couple of texts where the disciples reported back to the church of what was going on. Now, let me give you two illustrations. As a branch manager at one time with salespeople, I had two choices of getting reports. One was to make them turn in every day a daily call sheet of what they did the day before. Now, I used to have to do that when I worked at a company called AB Dick. And it got tiresome, so I would put down Whataburger, because that's where I ate lunch. I would put down Cinema 4, because on Friday afternoon, that's where I went to the movie. And I just put down all kinds of... And not one time did anybody look at it, nor did they ever comment on it. So how effective was that reporting system? Ineffective.
Maybe it helped the person fill it out if they filled it out correctly.
Okay. You've worked with salespeople. How many of them fill it out correctly?
I think everybody pads it.
Yeah, you see. But that was reporting. Now, we used to do that when I was growing up. How many Bible studies were given this week? How many people were helped this week? You know, how much money was donated for food, or how many food baskets given out? How effective was that? Pardon?
Was effective to make people guilty?
Oh, absolutely. I can remember as a little kid, you know, trying to find somebody to help, you know, because I, you see. So the motivation was to help somebody, but for what reason? So I could raise my hand. I saw a hand, yes.
My mother was a good Adventist. Never lied in her life except when it came to saying you studied your lesson 7 times.
Oh, yeah. 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 That was how many of y'all had daily lesson study? Then it got down. I mean, I don't know how y'all were. This is El Paso Church. It got down to where you qualified if you studied 5 out of the 7 days. You see? Because it was important for some reason. And I know the intentions were good and they meant good to report that, you know, we got 85% of our Sabbath school studying their lesson. So I had two choices as branch manager. They could turn in a daily report, which I figured they made up and it didn't do them a whole lot of good, or I could allow them to have access to my office where they would come in on their own and say, man, let me tell you what happened yesterday. I was out door knocking and I come across this guy and he did this and I did this and I ended up walking away with an order of $800 and I made about $400, you know, and all of that. And that's what I chose to do. Because why did they come in? They were excited. And when you're excited, what do you have to do?
Share.
Tell somebody. So when the quarterly, and I know it means well, talks about a reporting system, yes, I believe in a reporting system. That's why we ask every week in this class, what do you have good going on in your life? We want to hear the good things. I want to hear how this gentleman's operation went good. That's important in what God is doing. But see, it's not mandatory that you come in and now, how many of y'all did something good for God this week? Well, I really didn't, but I'm going to see. The best reporting system is when you're so excited, you've got to tell somebody. And that's why in this class, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Witnessing is an interesting thing. We feel compelled at times to get people straight or to share why we're correct or why our doctrines are the way they are. But I'm interested in what Mill said. Why do you think it's important to let the Holy Spirit work?
Well, I have a little story. About 2 months ago, my next door neighbor, we got a little thing in the paper or in our mailbox that his mother had died. And so, you know, I never met the woman. I don't know anything about the woman, but I went to the wake. And he still talks about me and my wife going to the wake.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I know he's a Christian man. I know he's a godly man. And he knows that we are too. But it's not about being telling him, you know, what he knows. And he knows I go to Sabbath school and his wife used to work out down at Jubilee. So they have exposure. But all they know is that I showed up for his mother's wake. Yeah. And that's to me witnessing, because he feels a connection. And
yes.
If he feels a connection, then I think that's, you know, God is working in his life.
Okay. Absolutely. You see, the interesting thing that we feel like in our ministry, Rob and I, in teaching, in preaching, our job is to paint a picture of what God is like and how much He cares and what He sacrificed for people individually. And we do, I think, a good job of pointing out that it's one-on-one relationship. And that if you get to know Him, then you will be drawn to Him. Because we know His promises. His promises are sure. And we're asked quite often in conversation, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about, you know, things? And we shy away from it. Totally. Why? Because in our ministry, we only have one message. God cares, God loves, God draws. That should be our witnessing as we go around with other people. Yes, if we're asked certain questions, we ought to have certain answers. Now, let me share. One of the things I do in sales training, and I go over it and over and over again, I make people that I train write out their sales presentation. People say, well, he's just a born salesman. Man, that's crazy. You know, at least it is to me. I've only spent 50 years working at being a born salesman. I read every day on selling, every day being 5 days a week. But that's daily lesson study in the El Paso church. And so that's every day in the El Paso church. See? And I make them write out their presentation. And then I make them write out objections. Nate says, well, we need to talk about it and get back with you tomorrow. It's a no-no in our business. So I make them write out how to handle that. Now here's my challenge to you, if you haven't done it. How many times over the lifetime have you been asked, what do Seventh-day Adventists believe? Anybody? I'd say most all of us. So here's a fair question, because I only ask fair questions. Have you written out, prayed about, thought about your answer to that question? If not, why not? Because if you start winging it, and I'm going to pick on Dr. Laws because outside of Rob, he's the easiest to pick on. If you don't know how to answer that question, what do we tend to list of what Seventh-day Adventists believe? Okay, and give me four of them. Do they believe in the Sabbath? What's the next one?
Health message.
Health message. Could be a turn off. What's the next one?
Baptism.
Baptism. See? State of the dead.
Second coming.
Second coming. But nothing wrong with that. Where's the common ground? Go back and read the Gospels. And look how Jesus worked with people. He always found the common ground. That's why it's important to understand what do Seventh-day Adventists believe, to have your answer. Because the next paragraph out of your mouth is going to be a common ground, a good, effective, or it's going to be a turnoff. And what we tend to do, and I did it for many years, I would list the differences. Now, if one of my salespersons, I knew about it, went into a home and began his presentation with the differences, he wouldn't, first of all, make any money, and second of all, he's being close to getting fired. Because in sales, you find what, Nate? Charles? Common ground. Called a relationship. So my challenge to you this morning is to give that some thought. And know what to say. Over the years, I've changed. Right now, when somebody says what the Seventh-day Adventists believe, my question, I turn it right around and say, well, what do you know about Seventh-day Adventists? Because now I know where they're at, not where I'm at. And if the words in your prayer... Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just keep thinking about Philip, when he was transported to the chariot in Munich, and he started the scriptures where the man was already reading.
Absolutely.
Explained from there.
Yeah, see? My tendency would say, you know, that book of Isaiah is interesting, but let's get to Daniel. See, you got to meet the people where they're at. And I would suggest that in your big paragraph, if there aren't words like the cross of Calvary, the death and resurrection of Christ, His love, His graciousness, and He's coming back to get us because His greatest desire is to spend eternity with us, isn't in that paragraph, my opinion, you've missed the mark. Because that should be the essence of what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And then in that context, we have the opportunity, if asked, to put the Sabbath in the proper perspective. That God loved so much and understood that man needed a time that he could be with Him first. Be with family, be with church. And also the Sabbath in Hebrews is a sign of the spiritual rest that God gives us from the sins of the world. And we can do all of these. Okay. Comments? Anybody have a comment? Yes.
I'm learning that to witness, it's something that you, like we say, you have to have experience.
Yes.
And you've had to have a relationship. I find it easier to talk about things that I'm going through.
Yes.
Than things that I just read about. Sometimes I'm trying to convince myself by telling somebody of something that I'm not even sure of. And in that case, that's when I end up trying to prove myself, and it's not about Christ anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me being right.
Try.
So as long as you have that relationship and you have an experience, I just tell them what I went through and I leave it up to them. I don't need convincing. I know it's
That's right.
So it's your choice. And like you said, the Holy Spirit
yes.
will work on that person because I've sown the seed.
Very good. Thank you. See, where we get confused is we think that the Holy Spirit should lead us from A, B, C, D, and E, final conclusion. The interesting thing about the Holy Spirit is He leads you maybe from A to D. He doesn't work the way we work. And we have to understand, just because somebody doesn't grasp this doesn't mean a thing. Because the ultimate decision is a relationship with God. And that Holy Spirit, God says, I will lead you in all paths of truth. But we like it from A to B to C to D. In fact, we used to be pretty good at reading the 17, 18, 27, 28 things before baptism. Do you believe this, 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 and this? See? And once they believed all these things, and they're ready. Well, Philip with the Ethiopian missed that. And I got good news for you. Jesus missed that. Witnessing comes from the heart. If God has not worked upon you and done miracles and done things in your life and revealed who He is in your life, you can be very good at defending every doctrine we have. But you're not going to be a good witness because you cannot witness the love of God to a person when you have not felt it in your heart yourself. So that's our challenge. Some of us are good at teaching. Roger. Dr. Coy. Oh, Rob, too. See?
You know, Ernie, the thing that I see is more predominant than ever in just my little world is know how to understand and relate to somebody else from their relationship that seems to be lost and missing. And I think that's the essence of what you're talking about is knowing how to relate to the other person and not just always trying to prove something.
That's right, yeah. It's got to come from within. And that's what Leroy's statement is saying. When we have a picture of who God is and we feel that graciousness and that kindness and it's working in our lives, we have no other choice than to tell somebody. Father in heaven, may we all be witnesses. May we all start out that day with You in our hearts. And feel Your kindness and Your graciousness and hear Your voice. Then as we go out through that day, You will bring people to us that need a good word of comfort. You'll bring people that need some laughter. You'll bring people that need a hug. you'll bring people that we can say God cares, because that is the witness. Thank you for this class in Jesus' name. Amen.